Praise the Lord, everybody. Glad to have you here. Glad to be here. All right. Just a reminder, we got pastors clean up this weekend, this coming weekend. So everybody show up with that can be there with your shovels and rakes and wagons and whatever else it takes. Show him some love and how much we appreciate him. So, praise God. I want to welcome everyone, our visitors, and our online folks. Glad to have you here today. We had one of our dear saints pass away this week, and we had a wonderful service for him here. She was a wonderful person. And I want to thank everybody for all your efforts, all your hard work, and your love and prayers that made it so special for the family and for the family of God also. It's amazing what God's people can do when they all get one mind and accord and have the same goal. That each and every one of us, at one time in our life, are going to need some extra prayers from each other. And I thank God for this family we have here. It just, they always are willing to help. They're always willing to step out and do whatever it takes. That's a wonderful thing in this day and age. So, thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you all. I wanted to talk a little bit about Francis. We've talked a little bit about not having to worry about where she's going because her life lined up to the Word of God. And, how can you say, well, you know where somebody's at? We do know where people go when they live for God. We don't have to guess at where our loved ones go if they're doing what the Word of God teaches. And that's a beautiful thing there. Because 95% of the world at least probably doesn't have that guarantee. It's always, I've said it a little bit before about live your life so the minister doesn't have to lie about you when you pass away. And God sees it all. We can't hide anything from him. And I love it because he's that way. And that's actually what this message is about tonight. It's soul searching. We can only stay in the mountains for so long, and then we have to change our style and start looking at ourselves, look in the mirror, and do the changes. We're going to be changing till the day he comes back for us, or we pass away. And we have to look at ourselves. We have to, through God's word, not our own righteousness, but what does God's word say about the way we interact with each other, the way we live our life, whether it's at home or in church or at work or at play. And God cares enough about us to put in his word what the requirements are and then give us the power through the Holy Ghost to obey that them words. And I want to thank him tonight that he reaches down for every one of us and brings us out of that miry clay and cleans us up and sets us on a path to righteousness. But it's up to us to continue to grow and become what he wants us to be. I read a little story here about it was a pastor talking about a little grocery store, a country grocery store that he went to daily. And there was a guy in there by the name of Jake. And according to the story, he was a pretty lazy guy. He just barely made change and he was just there. So one day he showed up at the store and Jake was gone. So he said to the owner, where's Jake? He said, he retired. He says, well, who's going to take his place? He said, we don't have to replace him. I say to God, don't ever want anybody to say that about him. If they're gone, they're not going to miss him. It's our job to do what we can do. We're in this life to take our spot. Whatever gifts we have, if it's only on the phone or on the internet, we got to do something for God. And we showed we can do that this last week, this last Thursday, for Frances. She was a wonderful woman, man. And she, just look at her life. Just look at her church attendance, for one thing. The only time she ever missed church is when it was absolutely human impossible to be here. She came here night, day, good weather, bad weather, and she was not a young person. And she made sure she came to church. And if you need anything from Frances, she was willing to do it right now. I never heard a negative word out of Frances' mouth in 43 years. She's going to be sadly missed, and she was a great example for us. Great example. I just remember the look on her face when we were praying for her a couple weeks before she passed away. She was smiling, she was holding my hand, and just, she looked like a little angel in there. She's where we all want to be. Just think about the people that already left us already. And they're waiting for us. That ought to be enough motivation for us to kick it up a notch. This world is not going to get any easier for any of us. And we need to be all we can be for God until that happens. I love him with all my heart tonight, and I know you do too. But the proof's in the pudding. You're not going to get there by your works, but you can show your faith by your works. And I love living for God, man. He's got it covered. He's got it all covered. Amen. The name of this teaching here is Search Me, O Lord. So there's a lot of different aspects of this thing. If you're on the mountaintop, in the valley, or in between, if it fits you, wear it. If it doesn't, as Ellis would used to say, throw it over your shoulder. But there should be something in here for every one of us. The whole thing was for me. I mean, every scripture that I looked at was, I don't want to deceive myself. I never want to not see myself according to the Word of God, no matter how headstrong I am or how set I am in my own ways. I want to be what God wants me to be, and I want to look at me the way God wants me to look at myself. It always reminds me of something Alice said years and years ago was, if you have anything in there, anything in your heart, deep in your heart, God will keep picking at that because it festers. It'll fester to the day you die if you don't get it out of there. It's like a sliver in your finger. If you don't get it out, it's always going to have an irritation there, and it's probably always going to be infected. And if you're infected with something, it's going to come out. You cannot keep it to yourself. I don't care how you disguise it, it will come out. And we don't want any guile. We don't want any deceit. We don't want anything to separate us from each other. And we definitely don't want anything to separate us from God. Let's go to 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, verse 6. I'm just going to read a couple of scriptures here, a couple at a time here. And it's all about the way God looks at his people, the way God looks at a human being. 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, let's start in verse 6. And it came to pass when they were come that they looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before us. So Samuel was looking at the countenance, the outside countenance, the structure. He was a pretty good-sized guy. He was a pretty nice-looking guy. And he looks like just the one that could replace Saul. But in the next verse, we'll see how God feels about this. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not a man, not as a man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And that's how I feel tonight. I want God to look at my heart. And if I have anything in there at all, to show it to me so I can change. We can't fool God. We gotta make the changes, folks. We got to. Let's go with 1 Samuel, the 13th chapter, and verse 13 and 14. First Samuel 13, verse 13. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandments of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established the kingdom upon Israel forever. What a responsibility he had, but what a blessing. I mean, that would have been for eternity. He would have had a place with God that very few people ever get even picked to do. And because of his disobedience, he lost it right here. Verse 14, but now the kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be the captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. So it's all about obedience to God's word. It's not about anything else. If we obey his word, we're not going to get in too much trouble. Let's go to Psalms 139. Psalms 139 and just two verses here, verse 23 and 24. And this should be everybody here's prayer tonight. This should be our prayer always to God. Psalms 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And if there be any wicked thing, any way in me, lead me in the everlasting. We want God. It hurts. But we want God to show us what's not pleasing to him, because we have to change. We have to make the changes. We can't cover up the things that bothered us forever. If you have to go to somebody to make it right, whatever it takes. I remember a teaching we had one time. Somebody was in, there was people in hell for different things, just horrendous things. And then they were talking to each other and said, you know, what are you in here for? And this guy said that, you know, and this guy said this. Come to this one guy and he says, well, what are you in here for? He says, well, I was offended by what somebody said. And so I wound up here. Being easily offended can take you down. I've been there. Even any kind of offended can take you down. There's no way we can't. God won't give you what it takes to get past a lot of this stuff. It's possible. I mean, I don't think there's anybody around that could be any more easily offended than I am. But I've gained an awful lot on that over the years. And praise God, I didn't like that part of me. I hated that part of me. But if you want to change, God will help you change. You got to want to. And the way it goes is we have to. If we want to make it, we have to change. Let's go to Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, verse 9. Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, verse 9. Now, this is what the Word of God says about that human heart. This is not my words. This is God's Word. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart and try the reins, even to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So God looks at not only what's in our mind, but our actions. He doesn't have any problems keeping up with us. It's us that try to hide this or that. We can't hide from God. You can hide from everybody, but you can't hide from God. He knows us right down to the marrow of our bones. We have to make these changes. Let's go to Hebrews, the 4th chapter. We're always going to have something to overcome, so it's not like we're different. I mean, it's just there's always going to be something that we're going to be having to work with to get to that perfection. We're never going to be perfect, but we definitely have to be trying to be perfect. And God knows how fast we can go and how much we can take and all that. We don't draw them lines. Well, I can't take it anymore. I won't do this or I won't do that, or I can't be around this person or whatever. I mean, there's a million different ways that the heart can deceive you and thinking you're all right by the decisions you make. But you're not all right according to God's Word. I just remember one time going down the road and something happened, and I was with Buck and he said something to me about something. And somehow my natural slipped out there somewhere. You know, I'm thinking I got it hid. I'm doing pretty good or whatever. And he started talking to me about it, you know, and I started crying. He says, "Yeah, it hurts, don't it?" I goes, "Yeah." He says, "I know. It's like cutting a piece of flesh off you, but it has to go, Paul. It has to go." And that's what I'm saying to you tonight. It has to go. It has to go. We don't want nobody to lose out here, man. We've come too far, done too many things to have a problem now. What can be that big of a problem to stop you from making the rapture? Because if you don't have that love for each other, we're not making the rapture. I don't care how you want to paint it or how you want to justify it. If we don't have that love, lay down your life for your brother or your sister, we're not making it. And none of us have been asked to do that yet. I mean, physically. I mean, there's more to that than that. I mean, it's going out of your way for a brother and sister when you got your own agenda. That's laying down your stuff for your brother and sister. And we know that. But knowing it and doing it when you got something that you want, it's pretty important to you to do, and putting that on the back burner and doing something that God wants you to do, sometimes that's a real hard choice to make. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 12. And this talks about the Word of God. I mean, this is what I was talking about earlier. You can't hide from God. Verse 12, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." I mean, how are you going to get around that? You can't hide nothing in your heart and keep it from God. There's no way. But it'll come out. It comes out. You'll say something to somebody or react to something. If you got stuff in you, it will come out. In James, there it talks about the tongue. You cannot tame that tongue. Only with the power of the Holy Ghost, and you better be full of it. Because it says from the heart, the mouth speaks. So you can only, I don't care how long you hide it, it'll come out sooner or later. And if it didn't ever never did come out, God knows it's there. But you can feel it from a person when they got it they're irritated about something or they got an issue. You can feel it from them and you can see it in their countenance. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, you got a shine to you. You can't get around it. You see somebody full of the Holy Ghost and somebody sitting alongside them on a bus or just anywhere, and you can tell the one that's got the Holy Ghost. Verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifested in his sight, but all things are naked and open before him, open to his eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but with all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And here's the key verse here. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. God's there to help us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows all about us. He made us. He knows what bothers us and doesn't bother us. We talk a little bit about, sharpening each other like steel on steel. Well, God put us together, every one of us, with the personalities we got for that reason. Because certain personalities interact with other personalities. They sharpen you one way or the other. They humble you up, or you get upset, you got to make it right. I mean, there's a lot of different ways that God uses to perfect us. And that's where we are right now. We're in a perfection mode. We're in a process, a perfection process. God doesn't put anything in his word that's not for our good. This is all for our good. He loves us, and he don't have one thing in here to hinder us, everything to help us. And if we look at it like this is what God wants to do for us, that I do this here that because he loves me and it's going to make me closer to him, then it's not that hard to do. But if you look at it like, well, I know I'm right, but, and if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have an attitude. I don't care how you say it, that wasn't right, they didn't make it right. And even if they don't make it right, you can make it right with yourself. You can go to them. Even if they totally, no, I don't have that problem, or no, I didn't do that. Well, you did your part, and God will deal with them. But you have to get it out there. You have to get it out there. You have to get your part out there. Amen. Let's go to Romans 12th chapter. I'm going to jump around a little bit on this one here. And we can live this kind of life with the Holy Ghost, but we got to be full of it. And we got to make it a point to pray and study daily. Because the way things are in this world right now, if you don't stay so full of the Holy Ghost, you're not gonna be able to overcome the things that are coming down the pike. There's a lot of stuff out there right now, boy, and I'll tell you what, it can trip you up in a heartbeat. And Satan knows us from the day we were born. He knows our weaknesses. He knows everything about us. He knows just exactly how to slide in there and change our way of thinking about something, and pretty soon we think everything's all right. I'll just look at my own life. The longer I live for God, the more things I see that I thought I handled the right way and felt the right way about even 15 or 20 years ago, and I was so far out of base. I didn't even get that real squeeze from the Holy Ghost. I just, it'll work out, I'm doing my part. Well, I wasn't doing my part. And the more you learn about God and the closer you get to God, the more you see about just there isn't no good thing in us. There really isn't. And that's hard to hear, but it's true. If God's word says it, it's the way it is. And when it says the only good thing in us is righteousness, that's that Holy Ghost. That That's the one that suffers the good from the bad. The one that shows us the right way compared to how our natural mind works. We can justify just about anything, but it doesn't work with God. If it does, if we justify it and it's not according to His word, it's not gonna happen. And we're gonna have to give an account for that. Nobody does not want to make the rapture. Everybody wants to make the rapture. And I want to make the rapture, and I want all of us to make the rapture. I don't want one person in this place to lose out or anywhere else. I don't want anybody to fail. I really don't. I don't have any problems with anybody. And I can't always say that. I mean, it's only been the last few years I really had to look at myself. Why do I have a problem with somebody or this or that? There's something in me that triggers that. It's not them. I don't have to look at Jesus. Look at the stuff they did to Him. And he didn't want them to go to hell even when He was hanging on the cross. He said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They had no idea what was waiting for them for what they've been doing to Him. But he didn't try to put it on them right there. That loving God has got another side to Him. And that's the last resort, but He's got one. Romans, the 12th chapter, let's start out in verse 1. I'm just going to read the first three verses to start with. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I mean, according to that, that's the basics right there. That's just living like that is just the basics. Well, okay, what do you got to do to get in the next level? It means you must be really, you have to really try pretty hard. But you might make it in right here. It sounds like you're just barely getting through the gate, but you want to be as close to God as you can get. If you're going to go, you might as well go all the way. Must as well get everything you can get with God and stay close to Him for eternity. That's another thing about our life. And this, we are born in this life to get ready for the next one. That's the only reason we're here. We're not born for all this other stuff. That's just an add-on. I mean, God blesses us, wants you to have a little fun once in a while and all that. But that's our main focus should be, what could I do to get closer to you to make sure that I'm ready for the one that really counts? Because that one can come when you're 10 years old or can come when you're 90 and anywhere in between. I mean, when people have health problems, like for instance, our beloved Frances, we knew for quite a while that she was going to pass away. But there's people that walk out in that street and they get run over by a car. And they don't have to be any older than 15 or 16 years old. Had a close relative, I'll put it that way, that had a car wreck one time when they were 15, 16 years old and could have got killed. I mean, should have got killed, actually, because there was other things involved besides the car wreck. And they walked away from it. But it made an impression on them. They whoa. I don't have a whole life to live. I mean, I don't have a guarantee that I got a whole life to live. So they start changing right then. It was a wake-up call for them. And like I said, God don't want any of us to fail. But we gotta live our life according to this word here. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, accordingly as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. That's humble. You need to be humble before God and each other. You don't have to be right all the time. I mean, Come up with a game plan. Or if somebody's real forceful, let it go. God can deal with them. I mean, unless it's something really critical. You don't have to be right in every conversation. If there's somebody out there that irritates you, that you really can't hardly stand to be around, you need to get more Holy Ghost. Because I'll tell you what, every one of us can be hard to get around. Every one of us got baggage. And this stuff, well, I don't like to be around them because they irritate me and like the way they say stuff or whatever. That's not right. It's a good thing God don't look at us like that. And he says, I look at you and have mercy on you. You need to have it on each other. Let's drop down to verse 9. Romans 12, chapter, verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. We know these scriptures, but knowing them and doing them at a weak moment are two different things. Because we're going to have a weak moment out there, every one of us. We can be had. Don't ever get thinking you're so spiritual, you'll never get tempted, you'll never fall, because it'll happen. God pulls that hedge down. We're all vulnerable, believe me, very vulnerable. So that's why we should be, verse 10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And that's what we saw here Thursday. Not slothful in business and fervent prayer and serving the Lord. That was a beautiful thing to watch. And I know that the family was touched by our love for them and the way God blessed our efforts. And I'm proud of everybody here. Real proud of you. Because it was a tough time, but it was a beautiful time. It was a tough time, especially for the family. But I know that they left here knowing that we really love Frances and we do anything for her or any one of them. And that's a beautiful thing for people in the world to know that. That's the kind of things that draw people to God. Verse 12. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation. And that's what we got to work on. Continue instant in prayer. I mean, you go down this list here, there's not one of us here that's got this all covered. There's no way. This is a daily process. You got to work at this every day. But I'll tell you, when you go to bed at night and you've gained on this stuff, you have this warm, fuzzy feeling from God that nobody can take away from you. God loves us so much, man. For the little he gets from us sometimes, and the way he puts up with our attitudes and stuff. But it won't be like that forever. We got a place. We got things to do. And we can't put it on the back burner. And all he expects you to do is what you can. He don't expect you to do something you can't do. But he doesn't expect you to make excuses for why you don't do stuff either. Verse 13, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. You don't get even with anybody because they're making you feel uncomfortable or they're making fun out of you because you're supposed to be a Christian. Just to share a little story that happened to me one time. I was working out on the platform. I'd only had the Holy Ghost maybe a month. And, man, I was fired up. I was a whole bunch of guys there. I didn't even realize how that all worked out there. I just got there. Actually, it was the first time I ever flew anything. It was a helicopter on a Monday morning with everybody, the drilling crew, and everybody was drunk. And I'm trying to clean my act up, okay? And I'm whoa, how's this going to work out? But anyway, I was in the doghouse, and there was a couple of welders in there and some roustabouts and a couple of roughnecks. And somebody said something to me, and I started telling them about receiving the Holy Ghost. And the guy that was the foreman of the crew says, do you speak in tongues and all that? I go, yeah, actually, 2 days ago I was praying and I spoke in tongues. I didn't really realize they were gigging me like they were. And I talked to them a little bit about it. And, you know, a couple of them chuckled a little bit, but that was about the end of it. I ran into that guy. He was a big red-headed guy, real physical guy. He was a guide out of Homer. And I ran into Soldatna Hardware. And he calls me over to the side. This is 15 years later, man. He starts telling me that story because I forgot all about it. And telling me how much respect he had for me for standing up for God. But we don't know. We don't know. We don't know the impact we have on people. You know, after that I understood they were making fun out of me and all that, but you know, I didn't think much about it. But 15 years, this guy comes up and tells me how much he respected me for making a stand for God. And that really touched my heart, man. It really touched my heart. Because, you know, that's how I felt. I didn't do it for any other reason except that's how I felt about God. And since then, that guy's passed away. He was a pretty famous guide. Verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. And we just did that. Be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own concepts. You know, the way I was raised, I had to interact with a lot of people that didn't have much. So it's never been a problem for me in God to interact with people that were not as fortunate as me. But all through this Bible, you see where them are the ones that Jesus reached out for. He didn't act like he was better than anybody. He was humble, and he reached down to the as low as he could get. I mean, I was so low myself that if he didn't reach down and pick me up, I couldn't have got up. That's how far he reached down for me. And I owe that to everybody that I ever come in contact with. I'll never, ever make anybody feel insecure or not worthy or anything negative if I can help it. If I ever do it, it won't be on purpose. People that are in that situation, they don't have an easy life to start with. All day long, most of the time, they're just trying to survive. They don't have the luxury to go to Hawaii or over here and go over there and buy a car whenever they want to. You know, get a motorcycle, a boat, all that. So they don't, that'll never happen for a lot of them people. That don't mean they don't love God. But first they got to hear about Him. And that's our job, to tell them about it. Verse 17, recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peacefully with all men. That scripture's in there, a soft word turns away wrath. That's a true, very true statement. I haven't had anything like a fight or anything like that since I've been living for God. Because I've tried to react this way instead of stepping up to the plate, being counted, and you know, running over me and all that. God takes care of our business if we take care of His. And I've had some guys really aggressive with me, and you know, guys that could have probably hurt me pretty bad, but I didn't back down, crawl away, crawfish away. I just told them, hey, this is the way it is. I didn't raise my voice. I just said, this is the way it is. This is the way how we have to do our business. And if you're not happy with that, then You might have to go somewhere where you are. But this is the rules. These are the rules. And this is how we got to do our business. Throw you in the inlet and all that. Well, maybe you will. But it doesn't change anything. These are still the rules. And finally, they settled down and wound up making the job, actually. So, yeah, it's possible. It's possible for somebody like me to tone it down. We all can. Verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Verse 20, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him a drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And that doesn't mean God just wants to smoke somebody either. That means that's a conviction. By the way we interact with people when they're being aggressive towards us, usually it convicts them. They usually, when they settle down, they start feeling better. Oh, maybe I should have said that to them. And, yeah, I was a little bit too aggressive with you. Whatever. I've had people come to me and tell me, hey, man, I'm sorry. One of our neighbors one day came to me right out in the road here. He was screaming and hollering in my face for dragging up and down the road. He said I was putting water in his front yard. I said, I didn't say anything. I just listened to him. 2 days later, I'm coming down the road, and he jumps out in front of my truck and says, hey, I'm sorry the way I talked to you the other day. You do a lot of good around here, man. I said, oh, that's all right. I knew you were having a bad day. He goes, no, I'm really sorry. I goes, yeah, I know you are. And I said, I don't have a problem with you. But I can't say that that's how I've been all my life. There's no way. But it feels good to handle things the way God wants you to handle them. It's a peaceful, loving feeling between you and God. That, yeah, okay, I didn't act in the natural. I did it your way, look, God. And he's right there to give you a big hug, man. That's... God's soft-hearted, real soft-hearted towards us. It don't take much for him to grab you and pick you up in his arms and love you. All you got to do is admit you need help. Okay, Lord, I blew it here. Help me. And he's right there to help us. I mean, how are you going to beat a deal like that? I mean, there's no other deals out there as good as the ones God gives us. I mean, besides that, you got eternity with him. Don't you just love living for God? I mean, just, hello. Amen. I didn't mean to put anybody to sleep. But it happens, I know. Let's go to... I want to read this. This is my last scripture. It's in Psalms 107. And it's verse 1 to 9. I just want God to know that we're happy and thankful for all he does for us. And that's what this is all about. And you'll see things in here that will trigger things in your life. Remember when you didn't have God? There's a security and a comfort that comes with knowing God. That no matter what you're going through, he's got right there with you. He's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of your family. I mean, there's no deal out there like that. Living for God's the best deal there was. I mean, you talk about a 401k, man. It's got insurance. You got everything on this one. Psalms 107. Let's start out in verse 1. Verse 1 to 9. And this is us talking to God. Oh God, oh give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And every one of us was there before we came to God and got the Holy Ghost. We were in the hand of the enemy. We had no power to fight him off. Verse 3. And gather them out of the lands from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. And that's us. We came from all over the country. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. We were restless. We didn't, you know, just what are we missing here? I mean, that's how, that you don't have to be one. Everybody's got that restless feeling. He put that empty spot in us, that we're restless. Man, what am I missing here? What, you know, I don't care what you do or don't do. There's something missing, and you know it. And God put that empty spot in us. And here's one that really gets me right here. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainteth in them. Man, that was me. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. Hasn't he done that for each and every one of us? Man, what a God. And he led them forth by the right way that they might go to the city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfied the longing soul and filled the hungry soul with goodness. Praise God, that's what he's done for me. And that's what he's done for every one of us here. And don't lose that. Don't get complacent about what God's done for us. Reach out to God always and stay as close to him as you can, especially in this day and age. And like I said, even if it wasn't this day and age, you don't have any guarantees for tomorrow. So if you got any bitterness, anything in you that you know is not pleasing to God that you can't deal with, come up to this altar and lay it on the line. And God will take care of it for you. So as we call the musicians up here, and I finish up here, I love you all. Thank you, and have a good week.